what is your musical background?
Well, I started playing violin when I was seven years old. Had some private lessons at that time, and then played in a little school orchestra when I was in first grade, second grade. And then I quickly picked up guitar, enjoyed that a lot more, started to form my own bands, and throughout elementary school and high school, I always had my own bands where I was usually the primary songwriter, guitar player, singer,
right,
along with usually one other player in the band who would collaborate. And as time went on, I started playing a little bit of piano and mixing it up. As I graduated high school, I went to a school called GIT for a year, which is called Guitar Institute of Technology, in Hollywood. And there it was just 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day minimum of just playing guitar.
Wow.
Jazz, rock, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but enough to really sort of be really entrenched in guitar playing for a full 12 months. Followed by going to Santa Monica City College for 2 years, and that's really when I began to become much more interested in orchestral music and writing for orchestra. And my first big piece while I was there was a ballet called Once Upon a Ruler for full orchestra. And I started to study privately with an orchestration teacher. And it was just about that time that I started to lose interest in my band. And it was because I was hearing a lot more orchestration in my head than what my band could provide. I also wanted to write more extended pieces and start telling bigger stories. That led to writing this ballet, and I had it performed at Santa Monica City College without the dancers, because I just couldn't get the dancers together. It was hard enough just to get an orchestra and get everybody to agree to play. It was primarily 200 phone calls to get 40 players to agree to play. And I did two performances with a narrator who happened to be my music history teacher at the time, who narrated the story prior to me performing it. And then I came on stage and performed it, recorded that. And then after that experience, I went on to USC for another couple of years. It was actually a tape from that ballet performance that got into the hands of a director named Monica Tober, who I was introduced to through a friend. It was that tape that got me a meeting with her, and she was directing a feature film called Magdalene, based in Germany, and it was a production that involved actors from all over the world and talent from everywhere. I ended up meeting her, and she heard that ballet and really liked it, and I asked if I could write some pieces based on the script, and I went ahead and did that, and based on those pieces, I ended up getting that job. And that was my first feature film right out of college. Allowed me to perform the score with a 100-piece orchestra. It was about a 110-piece orchestra, actually, with a 60-piece choir and a 30-piece children's choir and soloists. And it was a period piece, so it allowed me to write this pretty humongous score, in terms of size, of weight. Subject matter was the French Revolution, so you can imagine the sort of the grand backdrop of this period piece. So that was really my start coming into the film music world. And when I got back to Los Angeles after having done that, recorded that score in Munich, I was able to get a second job and an agent, and all sort of went from there.
Okay. And,
so that's sort of the progression of how I got to writing film music.
Okay, so it was that first film Magdalene that inspired you to go on to write film and TV music.
Yeah, I enjoyed that because there was such an immediacy to it. They had the finances to afford a big orchestra, and I think there was something intoxicating about writing a 70-minute score and being able to stand in front of a professional orchestra for a solid week and dig into that score and perform it and record it. There was something about that that was sort of made me want to do it again and again and again. I didn't get those opportunities in any other medium. Certainly, when I was doing my own pieces as concert works, it was always me doing it, but I didn't have the backing like I had in this situation. So it just kind of felt right to just keep going in it.
Mm-hmm. So what is the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
The first thing I do is read the script, have discussions with the director, sit down usually at the piano, and start tinkering away at possible thematic ideas. I really, really do start with themes and trying to capture the emotional feeling of the film in the themes. I'm not too specific at the beginning. I'm usually not trying to narrow it down very, very much. I try to kind of see it in bigger, broader terms, more conceptually and thematically. Soon after that, I start getting a rough cut of the film. At that point, if I have anything, I usually start to just play right up against some of the more important scenes of the film. And what I typically would do is try to look for some key moments in the film that seem to have an emotional impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually target into those moments first, and sometimes that's usually at the end of the film sometimes. And I try to start there, and I think it's because I'd like to really early on come up with the more meaty material, the stuff with more power and substance, and
right.
And from there I can start to kind of look at the whole rest of the film and start to see how those emotional themes play out throughout other scenes. And so usually that's really where I started, and then from there I usually start developing more thematic ideas, and very often with the film turned off, so because at this point now I've seen the film, I've seen rough cut footage, and I'll just sit at the piano or take a walk and just start thinking about the thematic ideas by itself, but I've got the movie running in my head, so I don't need to look at the film while I'm doing that. And once I develop the themes for the film, then that's when I start to apply them, and I turn the movie back on, and I start working back right up against picture from then on out. And at that point, I usually start playing ideas for the director and see which ones feel really right and start developing those ideas. Sometimes I'll record three or four of those themes at home and just start recording them and laying them into the picture early on. And from there, usually around that time, we have a spotting session. And that's when we really sit down and formally decide where the music's going to start and stop throughout the whole film. And it's really that point where I start to really sculpt out the score in a more more developed way.
I actually first became aware of your work on the film Star Trek VI.
Uh-huh.
I remember standing in the line to the theater and yelling out to someone, "Hey, who did the music?" And somebody yells back, "Cliff Eidelman." But I was expecting, like James Horner or, Jerry Goldsmith. But I was so glad that it wasn't someone who we knew, at least at the time. So how did you become involved in such a large film as a Star Trek VI?
Yeah, early on too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was, it's one thing that's kind of interesting. They had to get a composer and they could not pay the price of some of the composers that they have had.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to find somebody new or newer. And it kind of opened the door for saying, let's open up the door to all possibilities and just sort of see what shows up. And that's what Paramount and Nicholas Meyer, who directed it and co-wrote it, That's what they did. And I submitted, my agent submitted a tape of music. Pieces from that film I mentioned to you, Magdalene, as well as a film I did called Triumph of the Spirit. The director and his best friend, who is sort of a lifelong collaborator, Ron Roos, who also edited Star Trek VI, both took identical tapes from every composer who submitted tapes, and they both took it home. And the idea was, let's listen to these things independently, and we'll come back together and talk about what we've heard and see if we respond to any of this stuff. So as it turns out, they both got together and they both had my tape in their hand. That was obviously a big help. They both responded to mine. And in fact, what's interesting is some of that is backed up if you look at the liner notes of Star Trek VI and the CD. Nick Meyer talks about this a bit, how we got together. And then at that point, I met with Nick Meyer and at his office on the Paramount lot, and we talked about the script. And keep in mind, the film had not been shot yet. And so Nick just started describing the opening to me, and he's talking about the dark, foreboding, mysterious style of the film. And his best reference to me in terms of what that style was something like the opening to Stravinsky's Firebird Ballet, which is very, very dark, low strings that started out, but something that doesn't tell you, it's just very mysterious. It doesn't give you big marches and big fanfares, but it was kind of a mysterious style. And then he continued on telling me that this is a film that's going to be different from all of the previous film. He said it's going to be a little more mysterious, and it's going to just have a different feel to it. And so what was nice about that, he was trying to open the door for me and saying, you don't, because he even said, as much as I love all the previous Star Trek scores, I love the marches and all of that, he said, as much as I love that, I don't think that's what this film is all about. So basically, see what you come in with, you know. So I went home that night. I did write the main title that night and recorded it on my synthesizers best I could. I called him the next day, and I said, I think I've got the main title theme. He said, well, I'm leaving for London, or I think he was going to London. And I said, well, can I run it over and play it for you? And he said, yes. So I ran back to that office. I don't think this was more than 24 hours later from our first meeting.
Right.
And I played him the overture. And I saw him pacing back and forth listening to it. And I just had a feeling right then and there, not even halfway through it, I had a feeling as it was in its fifth or sixth bar, that I had the job. And he told me later he knew he was thoroughly understood. When he heard just the opening of it, he knew that I was listening to what he was saying and that I understood what he was saying and the mood that he was going for there. And so, but I still didn't have the job, actually. I just knew I was, top on the list, but he didn't give me the job yet. And then I said, well, let me take the script home and so I took it home and I did a whole script spotting session where I spotted where the music would start and stop throughout the film. And I sent him my notes, and then he went through the whole script of all my notes and made notes for himself of his own and sent it back to me. So we were really kind of, even though I wasn't on the job yet formally, I mean, we were really starting to work back and forth. At that point, and I had faith at that point that it was worth pursuing this. Something inside me must have known that I was going to probably end up with it at that point. So I kept pursuing it. And then at some point, I met with him again, and he said, I'm thinking about the planets. And I thought, oh, really? Well, I happen to know the planets pretty well. It was something I studied a bit. And know the piece. And he said, well, I was thinking about maybe you could arrange the planets for the film. And I said, Holst planets, wow, that would be pretty amazing, pretty interesting, and so forth. So I was open to the idea, and we had discussions, one or two discussions about it. And then at that point, they said, okay, you've got the job. And I said, great, okay, I was very, very excited. And at that point, I kind of thought I might be doing the arrangements of the planets. I started getting footage of the film at that point and kind of diving into it, and I started writing my own thematic material that seemed to really work for me, based on the main title, the overture that I had already written.
Right.
So I started coming up with more and more material and started to flow out of me, and then eventually at some point all the producers showed up at my apartment, including Nick Meyer, and I started playing them my material. And then they all looked at each other at that point, and they said, well, why are we trying to license the planets when we've got this? And they all said, sold, forget the planets. Just go with your own original material. And that's when the planets got tossed, and I went for my own material.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that became... one of the things that became known is that the planets was very expensive to license. Everything seemed to come together at the right time. The planets was too expensive, and at the same time, I was developing music that was really much more tailor-made for the film, and so it all came together at the same time. So it ended up that I got the movie, and I got to write my own original score for it. That's how it all came together.
All right. Well, now, in working in that universe, were you given any guidelines? I've talked to a few Star Trek composers before, but were you given any guidelines, being in that, so either by Paramount or, you know, by people who are in the know with Star Trek, as to, you know, kind of how to score this?
I was given complete creative license to approach it in my own new way. And Nick Meyer gave me, as I had mentioned in that first meeting, really gave me the creative license to explore a new way of approaching that series. I guess when you're that, you know, when you're as young as I was at the time, at that age, you don't. I just didn't feel the sense of, oh, you know, the enormity of the project or the cost of the project or everything that had come before it. I just sort of felt like it was an exciting thing to write a new score for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that really helped, that I didn't feel any of that pressure to try to live up to something that had already been done. I felt very much liberated from all of that and sheltered from it all, and sort of like, just go for it the way you think you need to go for it. And don't worry about anything, you know, and write it that way. And so I really came from it that point. And if there was though one request, and that was that they felt it was important, though, since it was the very last film with the entire original cast in it,
mm-hmm.
they thought it was important that at some point I should quote that original Star Trek theme, the bum 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 bum, and I should quote it somewhere in the score.
Mm-hmm.
And I found two or three places to do that, particularly towards the end, where I just quoted that little part right there, and then went off into my own place. And I agreed with them. I mean, you know, this was sort of their send off, and I felt it was, you know, it wouldn't be right to do a send off and not at least quote that original concept.
Right.
So. The idea for me was quote it and bring it back to life, and then sweep into the future with a new piece for them.
Exactly.
And so that was kind of the idea. But that was the only request that came from the studio.